Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful, as usual.
It's a long holiday weekend. I mean, are you dry, or are you still getting slammed with storms?
We've had more rain than I can say grace over. Every two or three days, you know, it's more storms. So, you know, but I told you last week I'm building an ark. I'm going to have this thing ready to go. And can probably float out of here.
At this point, you may need it. I don't remember a wetter spring than this year. Has there been one? Or is this?
They say one other time, but
really?
This ranks way at the top for wetness.
Wow.
I mean, it's just wet all over. I mean, we have a lot of flooding, as you know, in Houston, and even here in Argyle, there, every two, 3 days, they say flooding overnight. Mm. And what it is, you'll start to go down one of the little roads, and they'll have barriers up because the road's low here.
Oh, no.
And I forgot about that, but we have a lot of low road crossings, and those have all been closed because we keep having this rain and goes up over the road.
Jeez, that's scary, especially when you come up on that at night in the dark.
It would be, yes.
Oh, Lord.
And everybody should take your main roads. The other day I was in a hurry, and everybody said, well, this is a little shortcut. Uh-huh. So I did it, and they had just taken the little barriers down, but it showed what the water level could get up to. Ooh. On the side of the road.
Wow.
It's a little scary.
Yeah, and you don't always realize how much or how little deep water it takes to you know, move.
Not much.
No, not
yeah,
much.
It'll move a car right along. So everybody should stay on the main roads and don't take any little shortcuts on country roads.
Yeah, stay on
high
ground.
Stay off of them.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I mean, it's Memorial Day weekend, so hopefully it'll you know, kind of like chill out for a little bit. Maybe you'll have some at least a few minutes of decent weather, and you can get out and do, you know, whatever you like to do on Memorial Day weekend, hopefully.
That's right. So we're hoping that things will, you know, be looking up.
Yeah, you know, in a couple months, well, I will predict right now, which I always do, I'll predict within by the third week of June, you'll be saying, I wish it would rain. I can almost guarantee.
This summer, I'll be saying that. In August, I'll be saying, rain, come away.
Yeah.
Or I'll be saying, my gosh, it's hot. But at least, you know, the other day it was 92.
Oh, my word.
But most of the time it's been in the 70s.
Yeah.
You know, like 74, 76. And at night, it's still cool.
Hmm. Wow.
So I don't know. It's messed up. The weather's kind of gone backwards, I think.
Yeah, it definitely seems a little bit weird, that's for sure. So, this is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
You know, I just realized sometimes before the show, we'll talk about, you know, a lot of things, and we have just some general conversation. We didn't even talk today about anything to do with money. Everything. So we're going into this.
Well, that's what's wrong with some people. You know, they're talking about things, but not the things that really matter. Like, you know. How many policies have we got? What are we buying right now for clients? What is making money? I'll tell you what is up and down is that doggone stock market.
Oh.
You know, it went up the other day, and then it just pancaked. Did you see that?
I did.
It lost a lot. And the people that are in the stock market, they've got to have nerves of steel. That's all there is to it.
You got to.
And if they're in these mutual funds, that when you go in and say, I'd like my money back, then they can't give you your money back. That must be when you really get upset.
Yeah, you would think that'd
because
be a big...
Because there's a couple of the big ones right now that can't pay.
Oh, Lord. Really?
What they're telling them is, no, you can't take all your money out. You can take a percentage of it out.
Oh, not good.
But, you know, I was just thinking, you know, Nevada Trust is paying more interest than the banks, because had you thought about it, they pay on checking accounts. They're paying over 4% to our customers on their checking accounts.
Really?
Not a CD or anything, on their checking accounts.
I didn't know that.
So for 4%, I think it's 4.54.
Really?
And I was just thinking about that. You know, you can't even get a bank to pay you that much unless you sign up for a long-term CD.
Yeah.
And yet, all of our people get paid interest on their accounts.
Wow, I didn't...
And that's pretty neat.
Yeah.
If your money's just sitting there, you're getting paid on it. You're not just sitting there letting them use your money.
Geez, have we ever talked about that before? Because I don't think...
I don't think we've ever even mentioned it. I just thought about it this morning.
Wow.
The fact that everybody is making good interest just on their accounts.
Well, that's fantastic.
Without even being invested.
Wow. Huh. You're right. You can't get that from really any place. I mean, obviously people, you know, it's in people's best interest to, you know, make sure they're invested and things like that. But just to get 4% on checking, that's pretty good. That's spectacular.
I think it is too. Because what we're saying is, while you're making up your mind for the next investment, your money is actually appreciating. You're not just sitting there doing nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
I think it's pretty darn good.
It is. It's really good. I mean, most people nowadays, you know, it's like it just in other situations, it's just sitting there doing absolutely nothing. You might as well put it in a pile under the mattress. So to make 4%, that's pretty spectacular. So that's a win-win right there. On top
is a win-win. So when people come over and they don't have their money invested yet, or they get it paid and they don't have it invested yet, they're getting paid.
Wow.
We're paying them all that time.
So they're making money before they even do the first investment.
That's right. They're making money all the time because we pay more interest than a bank would in your checking account. Most banks do not pay you in your checking account.
Mm-mm.
I don't know of any that do except us, because the rest of them, you have to put it in a CD or something, you know, or order to get paid.
Wow. I think that's, you said that. I'm like, did I just like forget? But I don't think we've ever talked about that before.
I don't think I've ever mentioned it. I just thought about it and said, you know, I wonder how many people realize they're getting paid interest on their accounts.
Wow. That's a big deal.
I mean, in addition to making money when they have an investment with us.
Yeah.
And what I love about our investments, they're different than everything in the world. You know, we're investing in life insurance policies on people that have stage 4 cancer. I mean, this is different than anything in the world, because everybody else is investing in risky real estate right now, or they're investing in something that I never heard of on the internet,
yeah.
You know, and all that stuff has great risk. It has potential for money, but it has a great risk, about 1,000% risk.
Hmm. You know, and you've been doing this for so long, you've got the proven track record that no matter what's happening, they still are, whether you go the annuity route or the life settlement route, both of them are solid, they're true, they withstand any kind of a situation in the market, they outpace, I would say, any other kind of investment, because it's all it's... With the stock market, it can go up one day, like you were talking about before. It can pancake, you know, the next. And so that constant up and down, it's got to be, you know, nerve-wracking to people. But with a life settlement, it's pretty much set it, forget it, and you don't have to worry.
That's right, because a life insurance policy, everybody has life insurance, so they understand the life insurance. I mean, it's not something you can't comprehend. So then you say, oh, I'm buying into a life insurance policy on someone that's very, very ill. They can understand that. And then when this person passes away, we get paid. And we do it over and over and over and have for years. And right now we're working on two $2 million policies. And they both look very, very good. The bidding hasn't stopped, so we won't know till Monday or Tuesday if we got the bids. We're also doing a little policy. It's very good. And I'm just trying to decide, you know, I think our bid's very good on it. I think we might get that also. It's a small policy, but it's going to be like 12 months.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, I like to buy those occasionally because they're very short, you know, and you give it to a couple people. That's all you can give it to. And they make a good return, and they make it short, and we turn it again. But I love what we do because it's conservative. We do it over and over, and it works. People know what they're going to make going in. How many investments do you know they can say, this is definitely what you're going to get?
I can't think of any, and that's a big deal, you know, because in the stock market or other things, not only do people not know how much they're going to make, but they have no idea if they're even going to break even. And with this, you know, it's all well documented. I mean, there's a lot of information there, and they can say that because it is a life insurance policy, and there's never a situation where they ever discount what they pay out when the policy matures.
That's right. And when I look at all the things going on in the United States right now, all the clothing stores, all the stores are closing, Red Lobster filed bankruptcy, all these restaurants are in trouble. And we're not invested in any of that sort of thing. You know, we don't have clothing. We don't have merchandise. We don't have a restaurant. We don't have food. I mean, we've taken all that out of the equation. All these things are so darn risky that somebody invested a lot of money in. And they're public companies. They're fixing to lose their money, you know, their investments in it. And, you know, with us, it's a life insurance policy backed by the strength of these huge life insurance companies. And we've never had a company not pay. We've never had a life insurance company say, oh, we're going to discount this. They don't do that. They pay off 100% plus interest. Lots of times when we get paid, we've got interest built in the policy for you to make a profit. Then the insurance company, if it takes a certain amount of days, they pay extra interest. Yeah. Sometimes it's a lot, and sometimes it's not. This Andrews policy that we just got paid on, it went into their accounts this week. There was an extra $1,000 of interest.
Cool.
That's not a lot, but it helps.
Wow.
And, you know, all of them pay extra interest on top of what we've got built in for them for profit.
Wow. It just seems like there's layer upon layer of profit just really kind of across the board. It's just a matter of, you know, having patience and just set it, forget it, and wait for the policy to mature. That's really the only thing. You don't have to check your portfolio in the middle of the night to see if you've got anything. You can rest assured that you're always protecting the principal, which is what's, you know, I guess, can we say that's most important? Is it the most important
thing? Your principal is very important. If you lose your principal, you're not going to have retirement money. Your principal is everything. That's why everything we do, the principal's always guaranteed. It's always safe. And that, you know, we've been doing this a long, long time, and we've never lost anybody's principal because it's a life insurance policy, and they're going to pay up. We're not involved in real estate. We're not involved in anything risky. We don't get them involved in the stock market, and that saves their money every day.
It's interesting. I wonder if maybe, you know, people who have never invested in life settlements before, I wonder if it's an odd concept to grasp just because it's so under the radar, because there's never any drama involved. There's never any, you know, scandal of some broker did this or they, you know, some scheme for that or, you know, the value of this policy dropped out. You don't hear any of that. It's very much under the radar because it's so solid and there's no monkey business with a
policy. No, there isn't. Everything's straightforward. The bank handles all the money. The bank handles the payments. You know, we decided to do that years ago. We've never regretted it. You know, we pay them a fee for doing this, but it keeps everything honest, keeps everything solid, and I wouldn't have it any other way. Nevada Trust, you know, we've been doing business with them for years and years, and they know what they're doing. We tell them this is the premiums that have to be paid. They've got all of our escrow accounts for premiums. People don't realize that. We've got thousands and thousands of dollars in premium escrow for policies. So every time we do a policy, we escrow. we escrow premiums. We always escrow premiums every time we do a policy for 12 months longer than what it shows to give it that cushion. We've always got a cushion in there for premiums. So we've done that. When the policy pays off, it comes to the bank. Then the bank puts it in everybody's accounts. And so, you know, I think it's the safest way to do business. And we wouldn't have it any other way.
Yeah, not only do you escrow for premiums, but as far as reserves that life insurance companies have on hand, they're not loaning that money out for construction. They're not doing any of anything like that. So
they're not making a lot of real estate loans either. And that's where, I mean, there's so many buildings being foreclosed right now. We talked last week about the biggest building of Fort Worth foreclosed. 40-story building, I just can't imagine. Out in San Diego, they just keep foreclosing on all these buildings. The banks are going to end up with all these huge real estate loans, and it's going to be like it was years ago.
Yeah. I mean,
you know, we've seen this happen before. And in good years, real estate is great. There's nothing wrong with it. But right now, things are really touchy. And there's a lot of real estate being foreclosed on. I saw this oil company out in Midland. They've declared bankruptcy. They were doing things for the oil companies, and they said their income just dropped. I mean, a lot of the companies merged. They didn't need them anymore for their services. So now they're going bankrupt. So it's a precarious times. I think everybody should be in solid investments right now.
Yeah. I mean, the proof is in the pudding. I mean, not only are the things you're talking about, you know, the scenario, but I mean, anybody going through any kind of a major city can see it, you know, with their own two eyes. I can't tell you how many times, you know, like you drive through a city and you'll see like those office buildings and they'll have a sign out front, space for rent. Or it'll say like, you know, office building for sale, and it's just sitting there empty. It's just over and over and over. And it's very much a cyclical kind of investment. You know, it's like if you're in good times, it's fine, but if you're in bad times, it's really not fine. And with a life settlement, it's consistent. There is no up and down. There is no market condition. There is no seasonal anything. It's consistent across the board, no matter what.
Well, and what they've discovered this year is that all these people that are in a lot of these big buildings says, you know, we don't need this big building on the freeway. We can downsize. And they've been putting it out that everybody's downsizing their buildings, their rents, and economizing. They're not going to go out of business. They're just economizing. They're getting that rent down because rents on the freeways in these big buildings is huge.
Yeah.
Now you're looking at $24, $25 a foot. And they're saying, you know, I can do with a building that's $15 a foot. Mm. So things are changing, and things are not changing with us.
Yeah.
They're changing in the real estate market, the stock market, the gold market. But it's not changing with us. A life settlement is solid. It's with a life insurance company. It makes your money safe. You know what you're going to make going in. I think it's the best of all worlds. It's just constant, slow. It's not going to make you rich, maybe, but you will get your returns as promised.
Yeah.
And that's the most important thing.
Yeah, that slow and steady growth, that's where the stability lies. You know, people who are trying to, you know, swing for the fence and find that next shiny object that'll get them, you know, rich overnight, those oftentimes are some kind of a scammy, kind of a risky type of thing. But with a life settlement, it's slow and steady. And over, you know, however many years people do the program, you've seen a number of people who have been with you for a number of years, just consistently, they're always investing in new policies. You know, one will come due and then they'll reinvest, and then another will come due and they reinvest. And they've been doing this consistently for several years. And a lot of people are not only retiring early, but retiring, I would say, probably having a better lifestyle after retirement than they did when they were in the workforce. Is that fair to say, or am I making stuff up?
I think so. And we've got a lot of clients. They're getting ready to retire. We haven't realized how long they've been with us, but they're getting older now. And a lot of them are going to retire. and you know, they've made quite a bit of money. They've got the money that they're going to need to retire, and they're going to take it monthly or annually, however they need to. And the money is there. It hasn't disappeared. We didn't ever put anything weird. We just put it in the life settlements. We paid them. It goes in their account. They've got a lot of cash on hand. We probably got $19 million in cash on hand right now.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's huge.
It is. And they're making money on that even. But when they stay invested, they make more. I know lots of times some of them get discouraged because they've got policies that have went over. But the ones that keep going are making money.
Mm-hmm.
Because everything is a lot better. The life expectancies are better than they used to be. We have a different company that's helping us now. We changed companies. And now when somebody dies, we know in 2 to 3 days. I mean, all that other stuff is gone. Where that, you know, we wouldn't even know they died. We know now exactly when they died.
That's fast.
It's fast. And then they get us paid fast. These last policies were paid very fast.
Hmm. Yeah, I would imagine probably when people come over for the first time and want maybe some more information about life settlements, I would imagine that's probably, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I would imagine that's probably one of the first things they ask is, you know, how do I get paid? When will I get paid? Things like that. Is that kind of like where people go first when they
information? They want to know what they're going to make, exactly how the investment works, and then we explain to them that we bid on these policies. We look at to see how serious the cancer is. If they're playing golf every day, they're not serious enough for us. We're looking for somebody that's got 24 to 35 months left. And, we know which kinds of cancer cases we really like. We look to see how much chemo, how much radiation they've had. Are they on it now? If it says, well, you know, we can't see any of that cancer, well, we don't want that. We want the ones that say it is metastasized to 3 or 4 different places. We've got 2 or 3 right now that have brain cancer. This one, you know, they've given him about 16 months.
Mm.
And I think we've already went 3 months on it. So I think that's going to be a very good policy. I think everybody's – it's a large policy. People have got a lot of money in it. I think it's going to come due pretty quick. And people don't realize, I am always looking at the policies we have, seeing how many months they've got to go, what kind of cancer. Lots of times I'll pull the life expectancy back up. I reread it to see, you know, how it's progressing, you know, how far they are along. And all this is important to us. You know, we're working on this all the time to see how many cancers of a certain kind have come due. You know, we have probably more breast cancers come due than anything. We know how they work. We know how colon cancer works. And, of course, pancreatic cancer is most deadly with us because it's so fast.
Mm.
So, you know, we're studying all these cancers all the time. And the other thing people don't realize, when we get a case in, there may be 1,000 pages of medical.
Oh, wow.
And sometimes we read every dadgum word.
Wow.
The other day I read 1,000 pages on this guy.
Oh, my God. In one day?
It had, yeah, I spent most of the day doing it because he'd had so many tests. He'd been in and out of the hospital so many times. They had operated. Then they said they couldn't operate enough to get the cancer, and that's real important. If they said, you know, when we were operating, we had to stop. We couldn't go any farther. That's real important. So everything about these policies are important. Getting the right policy for the right people is very important in order to get them paid.
I'm a data guy. or as some people call it, nerd.
Okay.
Most decisions that I make are based on data, metrics, and things like that. I'm rarely, you know, the kind of person that will go into things with, you know, oh, my gut says, you know, maybe we should. Sometimes, you know, I will. But most of the time, decisions that I make are based on data. And you've got all that data for these policies. We used to call it what, page 14? They
page 14, yes.
You know, and so there's a lot of information that people have, you know, like you were talking earlier, you know, how what they're going to get paid. You know that in advance. You know all kinds of things, like their lifestyle. You know exactly what's going on. You, like you were just talking about, you know, what kinds of things they've been through already, what worked, what hasn't worked, where are they now. So it's, I can't think of another type of investment opportunity where you can have this much information going in and be so well informed. I can't think of anything.
Well, I think it is a very informed deal, because we start out and we've changed over the years. We've changed everything. We've changed the way we do things. We've made it a lot better. We wouldn't have these long policies, but we believed people when we started out. And then we said, no, we've got to research it ourselves. Don't just listen to them. Do the research. And we do the research now. So, you know, we do it ourselves. Mm-hmm. Instead of just believing somebody else, we go back, we read all this, we study it, and then we go and look at what we've done in the past, what worked and what didn't work.
Mm-hmm. You know, and to be able to do that, because I would say probably most people don't necessarily go back and see, you know, how has our data been, you know, but you'll go back. Not only do you have the data to start with, but then you go back and, like you were talking about, you'll go back and, you know, see, you know, did this work? Is this still, you know, applicable? Do we still want to look at things the same way? Has something advanced? Has something changed? And the fact that you're always looking for opportunities to make improvements is a really big deal. You know, I mean, even what you were doing even a couple of years ago, it's always been a great investment to start with. It's always been hands down, but it's even better now because you've got, you know, better LEs, you've got doctors, you've got scientists, you've got even more data, more accurate, more specific to pinpoint exactly what's going on, which gives you a better picture of the entire investment. So it's just, It seems like a no-brainer, really.
I think it is, because it's tried and true. We know it works. We've returned $200
million, wow,
or a little bit more since we started in business. Jeez. That's a lot of money.
Yeah, it is. Wow. So, yeah, it's solid. The reserves are there. It's a great opportunity. But life settlements are not the only the only path that people can take. You've also got annuities, which are also they're not in the stock market, but they mirror it. Did I say that the right way?
That's right. It mirrors it. It's never in the stock market. It's always safe because it's inside an annuity. And, you know, there's all kinds of annuities out there. But, you know, we've chosen to do a fixed index annuity. And the fixed index annuity is a good annuity. It's a safe annuity. I love annuities. I think when you get to a certain age, annuities are the answer. If you're 73 and up, you probably should be investing in annuities, because remember, you're going to need income every year or monthly, and you need a good return, and it'll bring you a solid return. It won't make as much as a life settlement, but you're not going to need that much once you've retired. So it's a good, safe investment. It's tax deferred until you take it out. That's what I love. How many investments can you do that are tax deferred? So, and it doesn't matter if it's an IRA or a regular account. It's tax deferred until you take it out. And most investments, only an IRA is tax deferred. So everything you put in an annuity, either kind, is deferred until you start taking it out. When you start taking it out, you pay your taxes. But you don't pay taxes while it's growing. That your money's going to grow faster if you're not paying taxes every year. We can all attest to that. Mm-hmm. Because we have to pay taxes every year. So that's that much money that we don't get. It goes to the government. So it's compound interest. you know, and it's got 14 ways to make money in an annuity every year. You can change it and change it. You can do two-year strategies, which I've done some 2 years. Other is 1 year. And you can change it every year. If one way is not paying as well, do it a different way.
So it's kind of flexible.
But I love annuities. And they have bonuses. I love the bonuses.
Oh, yeah.
You can get up to 20, 21% if you do it one way. Right now, the standard bonus is like 12%. Plus, then you can put a fixed interest on it that year, and that'll bring it up to 20%. There's all kinds of things you can do on annuities. And bonuses are great. When they offer a bonus, I put my clients in it.
I know it's not a really deep conversation, but just when people hear bonuses, what does that mean? How does the bonus work? Is it just here's
okay.
some...
A bonus is up front. In other words, they're going to say, okay, as you go into the annuity, we're going to credit you right now with this much. So you've already got that to start your annuity off. So that year, you know you're going to make money because you've already made 12 to 20% up front. So that first year, you've already got your interest. So then the next year, it'll depend how we do it. You know, if we put it in this 50 ways from Sunday, there's all kinds of ways to invest it. And it's average 7 to 10%.
That's pretty
on a
good.
Yearly basis. I think they say the last 10 years, the average is 10.
Wow.
And the stock market, when they put you in these guaranteed deals, they say 4%. They're going to offer you 4.
That's a big difference.
Guarantee you 4 to 5. That's all they're going to do.
Yeah.
So, and then if they put you in a regular deal, the sky's the limit. But then the reverse of that is minus zero. When you're minus zero, you haven't made anything, and you've lost your principal.
Yeah.
So it depends how much risk everybody wants. If a person says, oh, throw caution to the wind, just put me in all these things that might make money. They might not. So it's up to a person. Do you want, you know, standard? Do you want secure? Or do you want a lot of risk?
And
remember, your wife's going to divorce you if you lose all your money. They're not going to put up with that nonsense.
And that could get expensive.
It could get very expensive, you know? So if you've got resources, you want them protected, this is the best way to do it, I think. We have people come to us all the time. Somebody recommends us because they've done well. They've been with us 5 or 6 years. And then they recommend us.
Yeah.
And it's very nice that people recommend us. You know, you never recommend your family unless it's solid. Remember that.
Oh yeah, you can turn family into enemies in a big hurry. If it's
that's right, in a big hurry. You know, used to people would get their relatives and all this far out wide stuff, and they never spoke to them again.
Yeah.
You know, when they lose a lot of money, they don't want to come around you anymore. They figure you're a jinx. So,
yeah. I mean, even simple things. I mean, like even if you're at a restaurant and you're like, oh, this chicken tastes bad. Here, try it. And they try it and they're sick. And then all of a sudden you're enemies for life. So
that's right.
It's
so it's
kind of
best
a...
you get out of here and you do all these pie in the sky deals. Sometimes they don't work very well.
No.
And then you have to go home with your head down and say, well, I lost all the money, Martha.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Go out and plant some magic beans now.
That's
all
right.
You've got left. Wow.
And
we should also point out that, and this is just a really quick side note, it's not a matter of either life settlements or annuities. You have some people that do both, and that's totally
I have
cool.
a lot of people that do. And remember this, if you have a lot of money, and you want to leave it to your children correctly, an annuity is a great way to do it because, you know, they're not going to have to pay inheritance tax on it. You know, it's in an annuity. You can give it to them. They'll have monthly or annual income the rest of their life.
And it's separate from the estate, right?
That's right. It's separate. It's its own deal. So, you know, and they're going to pay the tax on it as it comes out. They don't have to pay tax while it's in the annuity. You can do a Roth. You know, you can do a regular IRA in it. You can move, take a 401k, take it out of the company and put it into an annuity. There's just so many things you can do. And remember, if you've got a 401k, you're changing it over to an IRA, there's no tax consequence. It goes direct to the company. It goes direct to Nevada Trust. You don't touch the money. You don't cash the check. We're finishing up one right now. And the check came, and the check was made out to Nevada Trust. And I said, no, you don't sign it. You don't do anything. Just send it on to Nevada Trust. And it goes right in your IRA. Hmm. And, you know, 90% of our business is IRAs. Almost everybody has an IRA. And remember, when you're 73, you have to start taking out of your IRA. And, you know, we tell people every year, you don't want to miss that because it's a 50% penalty.
Hmm.
So you must start taking out. And the guidelines change every year as to how much you have to take. But you must, if you've got an inherited IRA, they only give you 5 years to liquidate it unless you change it and do it on yours rather than their age.
Okay.
So there's all kinds of ways to do it.
On kind of a side note, is it true that the that it is when you leave it to people in an annuity, it is non-contestable? Is that Am I true when I say that? Or
that's basically right, because you've already got the beneficiaries down.
Okay.
And whoever that beneficiary is, it's written in stone. Somebody else can't come in and sue and say, oh, that's not me. I want that. It's not going to hold up your estate if you've got an annuity, so let me tell you that.
Okay, yeah, that's kind of what I was...
The annuities pay out. You can cash the annuity in within 10, 12 days.
Oh,
or
wow.
you just hand them the annuity and say, here's your inheritance right here. Hand them the annuity.
Wow.
And it's theirs. Nobody's going to be able to fight over that.
Done deal.
And it doesn't go through probate on annuity. It's its own deal right there.
Oh, geez. And that could be a headache. I'm sure you've heard.
It could be a real headache.
Oh, wow.
Because, you know, some of these little kids get it in their head that they just didn't get enough.
Yeah.
And they want more. And they're going to sue, and they're mad.
Oh.
And then a lot of them, they think their grandparents owed them everything. Mm. But that's not true. The grandparents are going to give it to whoever they want to give it to.
Yeah.
and
sometimes if they're bratty like that, they don't have anything on purpose.
That's right. Well, and I've got several clients that they've got one child that's really a problem.
Oh.
And what they've done is we've done annuities and left them out.
Hmm.
They're not getting that money. And they don't think they have it coming. They've been a bad, bad child. And, you know, they're not getting it. And then when we say, okay, who do you want to, you know, be the director of all your estate? They'll say, well, not that one. Hmm. You know, we don't want that one in charge.
That is no. If anything else, make sure this one is not in charge, no matter what.
That's right. And they'll say, this one will have all the money spent in no time.
Yeah.
And so we'll say, well, let us suggest an annuity that they can take so much a month out the rest of their life, and they're not going to be a part of the other estate. And they go, that's a good idea.
Yeah, and that's got to provide peace of mind for people, too, so that they don't have to worry that somebody will come in and try to, you know, swoop in and mess up, you know, all their plans. So that's got to be pretty good as well. So, all right, this is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is...
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And every Saturday around this time, we get into trivia. So what is our topic today?
We're going to talk about Memorial Day because it's Memorial Day weekend.
Yay!
We're going to go back over Memorial Day, how we got there.
Good.
You know,
this is important.
If you remember... Memorial Day was originally known as Decoration Day.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they called it. And This started with the Civil War. As you know, during the Civil War, we had 600,000 people die.
Wow.
More than most wars.
Yeah.
And after the Civil War, the mothers is the one that wanted to have Decoration Day. And first it was the Union, then finally it was everybody that wanted us to have Decoration Day, and they would decorate the graves with flowers back then. And then, of course, from 1868 to 1970, it was observed on May 30th. Then finally, in 1971, it was changed into law that it was the last Monday of May. And, of course, now everybody visits our national cemeteries, our regular cemeteries. They put flags out. I love to see all the flags in the cemetery as memorials. And then the flowers on the graves. And so now it's everybody that was ever in the military. And, of course, you know, the volunteers go out to all the grave sites, put all the flags out. They don't get paid for this. They do it out of love of their country. And, you know, I've always commended these people. But, you know, the one thing I thought about, you know, we observe Memorial Day. It's a solemn occasion. But then have you ever thought about the fact that not only did these boys not come home after war, but what about their parents? We've never honored the parents who gave up everything. You know, they had these boys who they loved dearly, and they gave them to our country and sent them off to war thinking they would come home.
Wow.
And, of course, they spent the rest of their life without their loved one. And they should be honored for giving up their children.
Wow, good point. I don't know that people have given that much thought. Wow.
I don't think anybody ever has. And I thought about it, and I said, you know, look at all the mothers and fathers around the United States in every war, and they sent their kids off to war, just these young guys, and thought, you know, we're serving our country. We're sending sometimes their only child to fight and to make us free, to keep our country free. And they gave the ultimate sacrifice by giving up their children. And nobody ever says thank you to them for giving up their children to fight for our country.
Yeah, good point. Wow. You know, we talk about the families. We talk about, you know, wives and, you know, and things like that, that, you know, that have had to go on after something like that. But we don't always think about the parents sending off their children like that. Wow.
That's right.
That's powerful.
And, of course, you know, the official holiday started out in New York in 1873.
Really?
And, yeah.
I didn't realize that Decoration Day was for like almost 100 years until...
That's right. 1873 is when it started.
Wow.
And it was 1971 before Congress got involved and standardized the holiday as Memorial Day and changed it to Memorial Day. Can you imagine? From Decoration Day. Because all that time it was Decoration Day that long.
You know... It's weird because we've known it as Memorial Day forever and ever, and it changed over to the last Monday of May within our lifetime. It's weird to think of it like that. I forgot.
Yeah, it was May 5th, 1868. General John Logan was the one that issued the proclamation, calling it Decoration Day, and he said it will be observed annually and nationwide. And everybody said it was founded in Decatur, Illinois, with his proclamation adopting it, you know, as Decoration Day. And it took a long, long time for him to change it. And then there was this little poem. It said, "Let us then gather around their sacred remains and garland, the passionate mounds above them with the choicest flowers of springtime. Let us raise above them the dear old flag they saved from dishonor. Let us in this solemn presence renew our pledge to aid and assist those whom they have left among us a sacred charge.
Wow. Boy, that'll just give you a minute to...
That will pause you right there.
Yeah, it really will. I'm just kind of like, wow, I can just feel that sinking into you know, my entire soul. It's like, wow, that is powerful stuff. I don't think I've ever heard that poem before.
Well, I thought it was really a great poem.
Yeah. And I know that, you know, a lot of people say, oh, it's a 3-day weekend, it's a holiday weekend, and, you know, let's go out and celebrate and party and, you know, fire up the grill. And if you can find some water, get in it, even if it's just the bathtub and, you know, having a good time and all that. But, you know, this is it is important to take a minute, even if it, you know, is just like you just did right there. It's important to take a minute to remember, you know, what this holiday weekend is all about.
That's right, because we only celebrate it once a year, but we should thank them all year long, every year, because we've had so many wars. There's been hundreds and hundreds of thousands of children who've went to war for our country over the years, and it's a pretty solemn occasion, because you know, you look out at all the graves and you see all the people that have given their lives.
Yeah,
and it's from every state, and each state, you know, has many graves for many soldiers.
I was reading something the other day that some people are concerned that some of the ceremonial events from this weekend are starting to fade away, and people aren't, you know, doing the decorations. They're not maintaining the things like they used to, and we may be starting to move away from what it's really all about, and, you know, the pride that comes with this holiday. And so some people are concerned that you know, it may not be the same in 5 or 10 years from now. So hopefully that won't happen.
Well, our country has changed an awful lot, which is not for the good, I don't think. But every year that I've went to the ceremonies, you know, they've had the flowers of either the Blue Angels or Thunderbirds. They've had somebody really magnificent that reminds us, you know, of the flying skills of the soldiers, the other things. Then the 21-gun salutes, the cannons. You know, it brings us all back to why we're celebrating this at the cemeteries, at the different places. Like you said, a lot of people have the barbecues. They do all this, which really doesn't have anything to do with Memorial Day. It's just they're getting together as an excuse, of course, which is fine. But, you know, we should remember that Memorial Day is a very solemn occasion. Everybody should be putting flags out at their home. They should be putting flags out in the graves. And the volunteers that do all this do a wonderful job because they care enough. And do you realize how long it takes to put the flags out at all of our national cemeteries?
Oh, yeah. It takes a long time. And like you were saying before, they do it for free. They don't even ask for anything in return. So
no, they don't. And a lot of people don't realize that the national cemetery a deal was years and years ago was when it was formed, and most of us didn't even realize it till they started building the national cemeteries. But the national cemetery was actually in business a long, long time ago. They just didn't have the national cemeteries built at that point.
I didn't realize
that.
Yeah,
that's exactly right. It was started a long time ago, but we didn't hear about it till, you know, till they started, you know, coming our way. Years later, we realized that the Veterans Association, you know, had started the National Cemetery, but they were far, far away. They weren't local back then.
So it's really kind of expanded over
it has expanded a tremendous amount from what it started out.
Wow.
And so, of course, it wasn't really till after World War II that people really realized, you know, our national holiday. It was still like Decoration Day till it became a lot more famous, you know, after World War II, people really started thinking about it.
Yeah. And then, you know, yeah, they made it the, you know, the standard last Monday in May, and then, you know, it became a 3-day weekend, and, you know, then it kind of got on. Maybe it was one of those things where, oh, we get a day off from work, and that's what got people's attention, not necessarily what it represents and the meaning behind the day. They just go, oh my gosh, this is it's a 3-day weekend, and so hopefully, you know, people still do remember what it's all about, and it's not just a, I mean, yeah, go out and have a good time and celebrate and do all that stuff. It's the unofficial beginning of summer, sure, but still, I mean, it's there's some pretty big things messaging behind it. So,
well, we started with Gettysburg, our national cemetery in Pennsylvania. And then we had Arlington National Cemetery, you know, and then finally they started building, you know, our cemeteries, you know, locally, like the one in Dallas, which is a big national cemetery, really a fine one, and then the others. But it took years, you know, before we had all these national cemeteries.
Yeah. And, you know, when you go to a national cemetery like that, it is, I mean, it is just to walk on the grounds. It's moving. There's a solemnness about it. There's an honor about it. It gives a whole feeling, you know, it'll overcome you, really, to walk on to some of these places, especially when you start seeing, you know, headstones, you know, from you know, 100 years ago, and you start to think about all the things that those people have sacrificed, things that they had seen, things that they had done for the greater good, something much beyond themselves. And so it really does, it will overcome you if you know, if you ever have a chance to visit any place like that. It is powerful.
And if anybody has ever went to a funeral at a national cemetery, it's very moving.
Mm.
It's different than just going to a regular funeral. It's a lot of ceremony involved. It's very moving to go to a funeral at a national cemetery.
Yeah, it is. It's very powerful. It's one thing to see it on TV, but to actually be there in person, very, very different. Very different experience. So
it really is. So anyway, Memorial Day, we'll be celebrating it this weekend. Everybody should go and put a flag out for a soldier, put flowers on a grave of somebody you know that died in one of the wars. And if you see a mother and father, thank them for their children's service.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, that's very important. Very, very important. So, all right, this is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
July 4th. Now, that's around the corner. That's Party City all the way. So, that's the one where people go crazy. And you know, so it's not
they
that
try
hard.
Everything then, don't
I know.
They? The sky's the limit.
Yeah. And July 4th is on a Thursday this year. So you know that that's going to be an extra long weekend. You'll take Thursday and Friday. Most people will start sometime Wednesday.
That will be a long one.
Yeah.
And people will use any excuse to leave the office, let me tell you. It's like some Fridays, I need to be talking to some people, and I can't even find them.
No.
I mean, these men will go and play golf at the drop of a hat.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things.
Yeah. And they'll say, oh, I'll leave at 3 o'clock. And then 3 o'clock turns into 1 o'clock. 1 o'clock turns into 11 o'clock. And then before you know it, let's just start on Thursday. Why wait till
you
Friday?
You know what they say? They tell me they were in a meeting.
Oh.
Do you believe that?
Oh, that's a good one. I'm going to put that in my bag of tricks.
That's it. Yes, I was in a meeting.
I was
just
in a
use
meeting.
That.
Yeah, that's great. It's going to be my new standard answer for everything.
I was in a meeting. I love that.
Why weren't you at work yesterday? I was in a meeting.
Yes, that's why you couldn't reach me on the phone.
Yeah. That's brilliant. Okay, so we do need to talk about risks real quick with the life settlement. There are two. What is the biggest?
The biggest risk is it could go over. You need to know how much your premium is going to be, and it's never a surprise with us. So your biggest risk is the premium. We could buy a lot of policies lately that have no premium. There is a waiver of premium on some policies that we've bought lately. We're bidding on one now that has a waiver of premium, which means there'll never be a premium. They've already waived it for the people because they're so ill. The other risk is not liquid until it matures. Always remember that. You can't go in the middle and say, I'll take my interest now. You get your interest at the end when the people pass away.
Yeah. And considering the fact that one does need to be accredited, it's really not that big a deal. People know it going in. They're not, you know, it's not like their last $50 and they need it right now. So what does it actually mean to be accredited, by the way?
Okay. To be accredited, you must make $200,000 a year or be worth $1 million without your home. That is a regulation. I didn't think that up. Everybody's just saying, I just thought that up. No.
It's not...
I did not think that up, okay?
Wow. For annuities, any kind of guidelines, any kind of...
Yes. You can't put your last dollar in an annuity. You must have money for expenses, for emergencies. You have to keep some money at home. So we're going to look at that. When you apply for an annuity, we're going to say, how much money do you have in savings and CDs, other things? And then you can make your investment as long as it doesn't take everything you've got.
Okay. All right. So how long does it take on average for somebody to come over and say, I'm a new investor, I've never done anything before, I want to come get it set up, I want to, whether it's life settlements or annuities, I want to get in. How long does it take to get the process in the ball rolling?
About 12 days. About 12 days.
Not bad at all. All right, cool.
Not bad at all.
All right. So obviously Monday is Memorial Day, so I assume you're closed on Monday.
We will be closed Memorial Day. We will be at the National Cemetery.
Good. Good deal. So then Tuesday, it's back to business as usual. So if anybody wants to call, make an appointment, come talk to you, get some information, get started wherever they are, they do need to call. And one last time, Faye, what is your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.